You heard the bell. There's no bell in our sound. I don't know. In our opening theme song, I don't know why I said that. I am your sensei, John Lucero, and I am here to teach three Buffy newbies about Buffy the Vampire Slayer. This week, lesson is episode 8, I Robot You Jane. A piece of 90s history. It's joining me as always, Michael Hughes. How are you doing today?
Why don't we have a bell? It seems like an obvious inclusion.
Yeah, I thought about it. It just like the theme I found just sounded really good, and I don't know. I thought a bell might be too abrasive as well.
Yeah, it's kind of grating. It's like having an alarm.
Yeah, Jesse Obando, how do you feel about bells?
Wow. I guess it would bring back terrible memories of high school.
Yeah. Vanessa, are you a bell fiend or anti bell?
Sorry, I was muted. I'm bell and I don't know. What kind of bell?
I guess it could be Belle from Beauty and the Beast. How do you feel about Belle from Beauty and the Beast?
I like that. She's one of my favorites.
Oh, well, if that's the case, I love Belle.
Yeah, okay, what if it was a school Belle?
Jesse and I are book people, so Belle's our favorite princess.
Yeah.
That makes sense. She is ostracized for reading in that story, so...
Oh my gosh.
Right. We're done talking about bells, I swear.
They're thinking about how weird I am. What's going on with this town?
Yep. And in this episode, we're gonna talk in depth about Beauty and the Beast. Oddly kind of fitting for this episode.
Disney movie. Yeah,
totally unintentional, but kind of fitting. So yes, I, Robot, You, Jane, originally released April 28th, 1997, written by Ashley Gable and Thomas A. Swiden, maybe? Directed by Stephen Posey. And Vanessa, I didn't mention in the last episode, but there have been no bronze bands for the last few episodes. I don't know.
Oh,
I know
you're right. The bronze was, like, surprisingly for the fumigation party, you'd think there would be a band.
Yeah, and there were two, I guess they were avoiding the fumes. Because, they gotta be singing, and maybe that's really bad for the vocal cords. I'm no fumigation party expert. But that could be an issue. All right, Jesse, would you mind summarizing "I, Robot, You, Jane" for us?
Yes, I will. I will do my best.
All right.
So it opens in Italy. We're in Italy, and it's 1418, and there's like a demon guy who's just feeding off of killing people, like snapping their necks. And then there's like a priest and some other people in a church that is, I don't know where they are, probably in the same town. And they have to form a circle and say these enchantments. And then the demon, whose name is Moloch, gets trapped into a book. And then, the priest closes the book, puts it in a box, and says, hopefully no one will open this book.
Like, wipes his hands together clean and is like, all right, no more Moloch for anyone ever again.
Yeah, like, he should have at least put, like, a sheet of paper on top of the book being like, don't open. Or why couldn't they burn the book or stab it?
Have a big scary face on it. But maybe that'd be more enticing for people to open. I don't know. Is it like, if you saw a book with a big like demon face on it, would you be more or less likely to open that book? This is for everyone, and by the way.
I mean,
I would open it.
I like, there we go.
Like immediately, I'd be like, what's this?
Curiosity's too much.
Yeah, right. Like, look at this dusty old book. I mean, maybe if it was like not like, maybe knowing Giles and also the situation, they were on a hellmouth, maybe I wouldn't, but like as just a bystander in the school, I'd be like, sure, I think that's fine. Like Willow should have known better to scan the ancient text. Like she's smarter than this. Me, though, as a person and not related to the vampire slayers, I would open and be like, this is a weird book.
What's going on with this book?
Yeah, Willow should have known better.
Maybe she didn't look at the cover. Maybe she just opened it.
Yeah, well, and if you're, like, just scanning stuff, like, you're not really paying attention.
With the scanner,
like, it's ancient, but it's, like, ancient, like, uniform, right? Like, or whatever, right? I feel like if you're, like, mindlessly scanning, but Willow, I think, would have opened and been like, this doesn't look like normal words.
Yeah, I feel like Willow would have been curious about every book she opened. So.
Yeah, that's true. Valid. Anyway, so the box or the book gets put into the box, and then of course it's like an excellent transition where Buffy is opening the box.
It's a good transition.
And takes out. Mm-hmm. Yeah. She takes out the book.
There's two very good transitions in the episode, the very beginning and the very end. Go ahead, sorry.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
No, all good. So, but then it's like there's a bunch of people in the library and there's computers, and I was just very confused. I was like, who are all these people? But turns out they're scanning the books for whatever reason, because technology.
It's the future.
It's the future. And what was it? Like, I felt, well, we can go over quotes later. Mm-hmm. But anyways, so Willow, you know, scans the demon book
with the scanomatic. Don't forget, yes. It's called the scanomatic.
Scanomatic, the green laser thing.
Yeah.
So it turns out, like, then the computer starts speaking to Willow. And yeah, so the demon gets released into the internet, I guess. But I guess then Willow just starts talking to the demon and thinks she's, you know, falling in love with this person who is named Malcolm now.
Very subtle.
And then, you know, of course, Buffy's like concerned because she's like, you don't even know who this person is. You've never met him. He could have a hairy back, which then Willow says he doesn't talk like he has a hairy back, which I thought was hilarious.
Is there, Vanessa and Jesse, is there a way guys talk that insinuates they have a hairy back?
No.
Roughly.
I'm getting two different answers here, Michael. I feel like
I just imagine Wolverine.
Yeah, right. Yeah, he talks like he's got a hairy back.
Yeah.
Maybe. But now like Moloch, aka Malcolm, is like talking to a couple of other computer students. But you know, they just continue on with that. And then Xander starts getting a little bit concerned too, because Willow is talking to someone who, you know, we don't know who this person is. Buffy then wants to try and figure out who Malcolm is, because she's concerned that he's, you know, not who he's saying he is. So she goes to a fellow computer classmate named Dave to see if he could help her figure out who Malcolm is. And he's just like, no, I can't help you. But he's like upset about it. So he's like also under Malcolm's spell.
He kind of goes for her for a second until she mentions Willow. And he's like, leave Willow alone.
Yeah.
Also, this is Chad Lindbergh, who Jesse might recognize as as a cast member from the original Fast and the Furious movie.
Yes.
Yeah.
I was very excited to see.
Yeah. Similar fates. But,
I have a note on that, too.
Yes.
But anyways, so long story short, she like follows Dave because he gets to leave, and she follows him in a very not, like, I don't know, I guess they told her to like kind of disguise herself, but she's really not well disguised in her spy outfit, and she's just very obvious that she's her just up to
glasses. Yeah.
Yeah.
After she makes a joke about trench coat and glasses.
I like the transition to her wearing trench coat and glasses immediately afterwards. It was good.
But she ends up at some sort of research place where she sees that Dave is there talking to some people. But then another computer guy, Fritz, is like watching the security cameras and sees her, and Malcolm messages him on the computer and says to kill her. Then Buffy goes back to Xander and Giles and says that, you know, that Dave went to this research place, but supposedly it's supposed to be closed, but it's actually open right now. So there's a little bit of confusion there. And then it goes to, I guess, Willow is talking to Malcolm on the computer, and then he like mentions something about Buffy being like a bad kid, like student, and getting expelled, and that offends Willow slash also I think she doesn't remember. She's like, why do you know that?
That was the first thing. She's like, how do you, I never mentioned that. Yeah.
Oh yeah. He says something about she's not good. That's why she got kicked out of her last goal. And she's like, how do you know that?
Yeah. And then he says he read her permanent record. And then he tried to change the subject immediately after. He's like, oh shit.
Yeah. Cause he was like, you told me or something. You must have mentioned it. And I'm like, oh, immediately with the gaslighting.
he's not a good friend.
Yeah. So then, let's see. They're back at school, and Dave runs into Buffy, like, in the courtyard and says, oh, Willow needs to talk to you in the girls' locker room. So she goes into the girls' locker room. She thinks Willow's taking a shower because the other bad computer guy Fritz is in there and has turned on the shower and put like exposed wires on the floor. And so anyways, but Buffy just walks over to the shower because she's like, oh, you're taking a shower? but no response. So it's like, don't keep going. She's obviously not there. But she walks into the shower and is like, oh no, the water, this is why we have droughts, and turns it off. And then Dave shows up and he's like, no, don't do that, get out of there. So she still gets a little bit zapped, but she's fine. Because Dave interrupted that, Fritz kills Dave with a fake suicide note and hangs him. So that was pretty intense.
It's one of the darkest deaths in the whole show. It's really fucked. Like he types out a suicide letter in front of him, and then has him killed immediately after that. Yeah, it's pretty fucked.
Yeah, that was really fucked up. And then Buffy, I don't know, she goes back to the library and tries to, they figure out, you know, this guy's in the computer, so they try to delete a file, Willow's file, on the computer, and he like pops up, Moloch's face, demon face pops up all pixelated, and he's like, you know, stay away from Willow. So then let's see, they figure out that they have to kill the demon guy. I don't even remember how Willow ends up at they all go to like the CRD place.
She gets Giles. She gets chloroformed by Fritz. Gets taken there.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Yes. Fritz chloroforms poor Willow and takes her, kidnaps her to take her to the CRD lab. And meanwhile, Buffy and Xander are going to go look for Willow. And then Giles is in charge of trying to figure out how to re-trap the demon. And he has to work with the computer lab teacher. Miss Calendar, yes.
Jenny Calendar.
Jenny Calendar, yes. Who, yeah, and she had like, there were some interesting moments with her, especially at the end.
Yeah.
So they all end up figuring out that, or Buffy and Xander go to Willow's house. The door is open, so they're like, oh, this is not good. So they end up going to CRD. And then while in CRD, it turns out Moloch they've built him like a robotic body, which it really resembled like...
The Predator.
The Predator.
Yeah, or like...
Yes, the Predator. You can say it.
Yeah. I don't know. Okay, I don't know the Predator because I'm not familiar with it. But I was just going to say, like, it just looks like a bad guy.
Yeah.
It just looked like a bad guy from, like, Power Rangers, which is also...
That works, too.
Yeah, 90s. That works.
Yes, absolutely.
So, of course, you know... Moloch shows himself to Willow. She's very distraught because he lied to her and all this stuff, and he was pretending to be in love with her, and he's like, I do love you. And it was just so, that was just so, I was like, Willow, priorities, come on. But then, so then there's a fight that ensues because Buffy and Xander show up and try to, you know, help Willow and all that. And then, let's see, Giles and Miss Callender, they figure out that they can create a circle by connecting different computers, different...
it's the cloud for the cloud, you know? It's
yeah. And so she starts very quickly typing out the chant that needs to be, that needs to trap him. And so that goes through, but then Moloch is just, you know, he's just in his robotic body now. Like, he's no longer in the internet, but he's in his robotic body.
The computer.
Yes. And then, yeah, they win by, or how was it? Buffy, like, moved as he was gonna punch her, and he punched, like, an electrical box, and
yep, she goes, take your best shot, and then, and the, I guess he realizes what's behind her, and then he explodes. That's because, yes. Yep.
And then it's, I guess, the next day, and Buffy and Willow and Xander are sitting at school in the courtyard, and they're talking about how they, you know, can't seem to find love in Hellmouth, you know, because they've been, you know, Willow is falling for a demon, Buffy has vampire, and Xander, unfortunately, was going for a praying mantis. So I thought it was just funny because they all chuckle, and then, like, the reality seems to settle in, and then it just ends.
And then it cuts. Yeah, it's a really good cut. Awesome. It's one of the better, like, comedic moments in the show at this point. It's and we can come back to that as we go through the show as well. This moment specifically, see how accurate it was. Thank you. That was an excellent summary, Jesse.
Yes, you're welcome.
Vanessa, how do you feel about our first Willow-centric episode of the show?
I liked it. I thought this one was fun. I feel like, I don't know, like, these kids just fall in love so quick. I know I said that last episode.
These crazy,
like,
these crazy kids.
Yeah. These crazy kids and their love, right? Like, it's just, like, oh my gosh, and what a 90s episode. So much technology.
In her defense, like, that's the demon's power, is, you know, to like,
seduce.
Yeah, so, like, that's true. Yeah, and she's already had a thing for Xander the whole time too. That's like, it's not the first guy she's been into.
She doesn't have the best choice of men to begin with.
Yeah, right.
Michael, how do you feel about the dangers of computers after watching this episode?
you wouldn't download a demon.
Exactly.
I feel like if this episode was made today, that would be the episode title.
Yeah, it'd be a good title too. I just love, like, at the very beginning, like, the Fritz guy, who's already fucking nuts, is like, if you're not jacked in, you're not alive. And as Miss Callender's trying to not make them seem like nutcases.
Yeah, Fritz is not a good example for that.
Yeah, that was one of my favorite quotes. I rewinded it several times just to make sure I captured it perfectly. It was so weird.
Yeah, if you're not jacked in, you're not alive.
Printed pages Giles obsolete.
Even... I mean, he's about 30 years ahead of his time. Giles even notes that those two are already on the weird side before they're controlled.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jesse, how do you feel about the, you mentioned it, I think you were hinting at least, the budding Giles and Mrs. Callender relationship,
it's funny because, and I should have mentioned this during our recording of episode 7, but when Giles was, like, hanging out with Buffy's mom in the hospital alone, I was like, oh, okay, this might be fun.
fair.
But then this episode showed up, and I was like, oh, yes, like, enemies to lovers. I can see it now in my mind. It's going to be great, great trope. And then Yeah, and then, I mean, I don't know if we just want to go to, like, the very end.
Everything's up for grabs. Mention whatever you want.
Yeah, so they're, you know, over the course of the episode, they have these, like, little, they're, like, bickering, but mm-hmm. in a very, you know, I don't know, it was, like, kind of lighthearted way. And then he comes up to her in the computer lab, and they have this discussion about how he doesn't like computers because they don't smell. And he's like, oh, I found this, and I figured it was yours. And I guess it was like a dangly earring or some sort of dangly thing.
Yeah.
And she said she doesn't dangle a corkscrew from her ear. And so I'm assuming it was a belly button piercing.
Yeah, belly button. Could be nipple, you know? Could be
nipple, I guess. Yeah. I mean, I don't think it'd be anything else, really. Nipples or the belly button, because any lower would... Just something dangling just seems like not a fun time, but...
Yeah, that sounds... I believe that. That's this is Miss Callender will be a recurring character, not every episode, but she will be coming back multiple times, so we'll get more of the techno-pagan, which is a
techno-pagan.
Yes, that's weird. I looked that up. It's a real thing.
Is it still a thing? Is it like a 90s thing that people moved on from?
No, I think it's still a thing. Like, they are now, like, some people are, like, focusing on AI and where, like, the human relationship to AI is viewed as beneficial and spiritual. Mm-hmm. And the groups, sorry, I'm reading off of the Wikipedia, groups advocate for a symbiotic and religious relationship to AI.
Religious. And wow.
Yeah, like it's I had no idea, but yeah, it's like a whole thing. Like, they, instead of having a book of shadows, they'll have a disc of shadows and
disc of shadows.
Use a laser pointer as a wand.
Oh my god. Wow.
Yeah, that's kind of a fun fact.
I want this set of Harry Potter. This needed to be the next I want the Hogwarts equivalent of for techno pagans.
She says there are more of us than you think.
Yeah. There are. She's very helpful, you know, so.
It was very helpful.
She did say there had been portents for days about some sort of bad thing happening, which that was a funny sentence. Okay. Michael, any other things you want to mention from this episode? Any notes or highlights, lowlights?
I couldn't help but notice the similarities to the Tom Riddle diary. Speaking of Harry Potter.
Okay, sure. It's
basically scanning the demon right into the computer, and then they talk until he takes over her.
Mm-hmm.
Buffy's inappropriate outfits. She has a spider sense that Giles doesn't get the reference.
He's got a great white. Yes, that's a good race. Yes, that's the second Spider-Man reference in the last two episodes. Because the Master said, "With great power comes a great responsibility."
I did make note of that.
But Buffy has a great white cheetah print jacket she wears in this episode too. So you know, you got to give it to her there.
Yeah,
I think Xander had my favorite line of the episode where Calendar's like, "Why are you? Were you kids in the library again?" And he says, Tareed makes our Spanish English good, or our speaking English good. Man, I can't even say the broken English.
Yeah, and then Buffy like scolds him about it as they're walking out. Yeah, it's Tame Xander episode.
Yeah. Oh wait, he still has my favorite line, but it wasn't that one. It's when he's trying to call Buffy and Willow, and he says that Willow's line wasn't busy, so she's not online. Holy shit, kids aren't gonna understand that at all.
Nope.
Oh wow. Yeah.
Yeah, no one under the age of like what, 20 or probably my age, honestly, 25 I feel like might be the 25 oldest.
25 to 30.
Yeah.
You see, kids, back when dial-up internet was a thing, you had to tie up the phone line to be online.
Also, this is like pre-cloud, so the idea that he could just get into any computer he wanted to was just because he's in the computer. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It seems like whenever anyone tries to do something good, they end up dead. Like we saw with Dr. Gregory and now
Herbert. What? Yeah, just being a cute pig.
And now Dave.
Yeah, and now poor Dave. And they just get it so bad too. Like they don't even, it's like if you try to do good, you're gonna die super bad. Like it's just like it's rough.
What happens to Fritz? Does he just get off scot free at the end?
He gets his neck broken. He's by
dead. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
I
must have
also dead.
Yeah.
I was looking up. We talked about it before we start recording, but there's an episode in Futurama where there's a computer that's like a network executive and they go to threaten someone and he just puts out a CD tray and they put a gun in it. And this episode reminded me of that. I had to keep searching for it. So that must have been while I was looking that up. The last note I have is that Malik's body looks like one of the robots for Mortal Kombat Annihilation.
Oh, yep, sure. Yes, absolutely. It's a classic of the video game genre, right? Right, Vanessa?
that's all I got.
Jesse, do you have any highlights? The lights?
We touched on it already in the beginning, but when just seeing that Dave is Jesse from the first Fast and Furious movies. They're both literally very similar characters where they're like awkward and like kind of twitchy and nervous but they're geniuses too. And so I was really sad to see that Fritz hung Dave.
Fritz hung Dave.
Honestly, I don't accept the death. I refuse to believe it. I'm going to pretend that he moved away to, you know, L.A. and became friends with Dom Toretto, which still leads to his untimely death.
Yeah.
But, and then also just like, how did Buffy not see him when she first walked into the computer lab? Like, he was like, avoiding the, like, looking directly into the classroom. I don't know. It was just ridiculous.
Also, Fritz shows up behind Dave in the computer lab, but there's no, like, indication he's been there the whole time until, and then he's just there. So,
I like to think if there was a band in the Bronze this episode, the band name would have been Fritz Hung Dave. It's a good band name.
This is a pretty good band name.
Yeah. And then Buffy like just goes back to the library and she's like, Dave is dead. And I'm like, call the authorities. Please call the police.
There are no police.
Yeah, this is just ridiculous. This is a ridiculous town.
All right. Vanessa, how about yourself? Anything you wanna highlight?
Well, definitely, like, no one even knows that Dave died. That was like Buffy just walks to the library, nobody cares. Yeah, Jim and I were laughing about that one. I love also, like, Willow had a couple of nice lines, like, yes, it was a joke I made up. And Xander's like, are you kidding me? I don't know. I love everything about Willow all the time, most of the time.
Yeah, she's just an angel.
Looking forward to her not being a damsel in distress.
Me too, yeah, right?
That day does come, don't worry. That
That was good. Also, Buffy has a great flying kick in this episode. Like, it doesn't do anything because she just bounces off the robot demon, but like, oh, it was so good.
I just love a good flying kick and a drop kick. Good drop kick's always good too. Just kicking things is always really satisfying.
How many shows can you just casually toss out the term robot demon? It's just like, oh yeah, totally.
This is also the first like demon-ass demon we've gotten in the show. So that's there is that, because I think we've gotten vampires and praying mantises and evil hyenas.
He's got horns, so you know he's a demon.
Yeah, but no, we got a green ass horned demon in this one. So there is that. All right, for myself, let's see if I have anything else that we haven't been mentioning. The spell to capture the demon is pretty simple. You just say "come demon" basically over and over. You say like one sentence and then "come demon" over and over again. Xander's wearing a shirt that says porn star in the opening scene.
I thought that's what that
what?
Said.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't get a good look at it, but I'm like,
yeah.
Said to my wife, said, does your shirt say porn star?
This is the second appearance of the smoking sucks sign with a guy with like a like shirtless guy with a cigarette. That's because Buffy shoots it with the crossbow in the previous episode in a different spot. So that's just there's all over the place in these. Buffy has a 2.8 GPA.
Yeah,
not great.
Did you see though, like in that part, when the demon is scanning the student directory after he identifies Buffy through the webcam, which is just creepy. But on the computer that he's looking at, it says that she's a sophomore and her birthday is October 24th, 1980. But then when it shows on Fritz's screen, it says that she's a senior and her birthday is May 6th, 1979. And her GPA is now 2.9 instead of a 2.8.
Yes, there are three different screens that that have it. I'll tell you right now. Yes. So Buffy's school records fluctuate radically while being locked up by Moloch. The student file lists her as a senior born in on October 24th, 1980, with a 3.4 GPA, which is not correct because she's not a senior. When selected, it then correctly states she's a sophomore with a 2.8 GPA. When Fritz retrieves her file, the data is combined to say she's a senior born on May 6, 1979. Additionally, neither is her correct birthday, which is January 19th. In universe, this could be explained as data corruption due to demonic interference.
Mm-hmm. Let's go.
Which is in the background in this throughout this episode, there's a bunch of weird computer stuff going on for people. That's like the dude that has like he has a paper about how the Nazis were right was written on his computer.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. And then
that was funny.
While Giles is listening to the radio, or I think this might not have been in the radio part, but all serial killer profiles have been mysteriously downloaded from the FBI's central computer system. And then stuff like that going on in the background throughout.
There was also the part where the nurse is like rushing out of the school and saying like, I didn't know he didn't have it marked on his record that he was allergic to penicillin.
That's a good one. Yes, that is another one. There's a bunch of computer stuff is getting fucked up constantly in this episode in the background, which is good. I kind of like that it just kind of do what happens in the background. Here's some Fritz stuff that we got throughout the episode. Him just repeating over and over, I'm jacked in, I'm jacked in, I'm jacked in. Moloch telling, typing on the screen to Fritz, kill her, and him replying, party. Which is, yep. Miss Calendar notices they've been in the computer lab a whole bunch. He says they're working on a project, and she goes, oh, will I be impressed? Because he goes, you'll die. And I was like, supposed to be subtle? You'll die. Is that like, oh, awesome, must be really good then. That was just a really silly thing. That might be it. When Xander knocks out a guy during the fight with Moloch, he goes, hey, I kind of hit someone, and then runs in there, like, because he finally contributed.
He gets immediately slapped by Moloch.
Immediately knocked out by the robot, yeah. Hey, Xander's just a normal guy, and that's kind of his whole thing. He's a dude. And then, of course, the last line, when, let's face it, none of us are ever going to have a happy, normal relationship. Yeah, we're doomed! And then they laugh, and then they realize what they just said, and then we cut away. And that is the end of that episode. All right, let's get to some numbers, everyone. Let's see for body count this episode. We have Carlo neck snapped in 1418 by Moloch in Italy. Do we want to count flashback deaths?
Oh yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay. Also, this is the first flashback of like a historical flashback for the show, which there will be many throughout the show. David Kirby, who didn't die and moved to LA to die later, hanged by Fritz Siegel, apparently, allegedly hanged by Fritz Siegel under Moloch's influence. So that's one innocent bystander, two innocent bystanders, sorry, Carlo. Fritz, next snap by Moloch. Do we count him as an innocent bystander? Do you think he was a serial killer before Moloch took over his mind?
I don't think so. And those students, they're not innocent bystanders, they're students.
Yes. Oh, you're right. Sorry. Yes, I forgot. We have a students faculty. Yes, you're right.
They,
yes.
They get their whole category because they often died.
Two students and one Carlo. and then Moloch, who's electrocuted in his robot body, misled into punching an electric power line by Buffy, and explodes. Oh, that's one monster. So we were at 19 monsters, 8 students/faculty, 15 innocent bystanders, including one cute little piggy. Vanessa, any weight comments in episode 8?
No comments about weight this episode. They're doing so good.
I think the closest we got was when Buffy's asking for a description of Malcolm. And he's like, is he skinny? Is he fat? And then, so that's about as close as we get. Yeah, so we're progressing. You know, maybe we'll never hear any body shaming comments again in this show.
Oh, okay. I doubt it.
All right.
I was gonna say. Where was it? Never mind. I lost my train of thought.
Okay, it's fine. If you get it back, go ahead.
Sorry, it came back. Just the internet in the 90s was just so crazy. I don't know. Like, I know it's still crazy, but, like, chat rooms, like, the instant messaging, like, you had no idea what you were, like, no one knew what they were doing, and they were just like, put the children on the internet.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And no safety. And also, like, I thought it was funny too, because when the screen would go black and text would appear, it's like, well, maybe people, computers were still a mystery back then. So they were probably like, this is probably normal. Sometimes the screen goes black and text appears. This is fine.
Yeah. This is just normal computering. sometimes the computer talks to you.
But yeah, go ahead, kids. The internet's your playground. Good luck.
All right.
Yeah, I mean, I think, I don't know if any of you guys ever, like, accidentally stumbled onto, like, some scary stuff on the internet as a kid. Like, I like, saw, like, a decapitated head one time, and I was like, why is this happening? Like, I don't even know how it showed up.
Oh, my God.
Yikes.
So, yeah.
Jim and I did joke, actually, when Matt Moloch emailed Willow about, like, you need to see me. I was joking with Jim. It's like, that means he's going to send a dick pic next. So that's if that were today, that was what's happening.
Like, they talk about, it's like, ooh, you can't fall in love with someone over the internet or whatever. And then my wife and I looked at each other because that's where we met.
Yeah.
Is your wife secretly a demon and you don't know yet?
Oh man, there was something Buffy says about he could be like a crazy killer, and she's like, are you a crazy killer? It's like, yeah, I'm playing the long con here. 15 years ago.
It's gonna be hilarious when I finally do it, though. Don't worry.
it's gonna be so worth it.
Yeah. All right. Jesse, would you mind reading our first fun fact?
Yes. iRobot Eugene features the first appearance of Jenny Callender. Although her first name is not mentioned, the script called her Nikki. However, the name was then changed to avoid confusion on the set, where the cast and crew all called Nicholas Brendan by his nickname Nikki. And Nicholas Brendan is Xander. Yes.
Yeah. All right. Michael, would you read our last two fun facts?
In the library, Giles is listening to a radio report about computer problems at the Vatican. The announcer on the radio is Joss Whedon. Huh. Yep. And the name Malak, a traditionally Hebrew name for demons, was picked as an Easter egg reference to computer programmers. In C-based languages, there's a function named Malak, short for memory allocate. Since the episode makes many references to computers and the internet, the name is a fitting call-out. It's pretty cool.
Oh, that's nice.
A fun little fact.
Yeah.
All right. Everyone's favorite segment, I think. It's mine. It's my favorite segment. Who slayed this episode, ladies and gentlemen?
I think Miss Calendar.
Ooh. I was thinking that too.
Yeah.
She has a whole coven of internet pagans to call upon, and it worked. Techno pagans.
There are dozens of them. Dozens.
She is she's a fun new character. She's a nice kind of change of pace.
Yep, and she will be around. I don't remember all the episodes she's in, but yeah, she'll definitely be appearing quite a bit.
I think I saw 14 total when I looked her up yesterday.
For episode 8, I, Robot, You, Jane, our Slayer of the Week, Miss Calendar. A great choice. I think I would have went the same.
Why the Tarzan reference? How does that fit into the episode?
Tarzan's a love story, a fish out of water love story.
I think they went with the iRobot thing, and they're like, oh man, that kind of falls in with the iTarzan Eugene thing. Let's just
that's probably 100% what happened. Joss Whedon probably read iRobot, then holy shit, it's what if iRobot fell in love with someone?
Write that down.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Does anyone have any closing comments for this episode that they'd like to mention? All right.
Nope.
That's gonna do it for episode 8 of Buffy. Then, fun episode. I think this one is definitely one of the I think love it or hate it episodes based on what I've seen from fans. This the pack and Teacher's Pet tend to be on a lot of people's like least favorite episodes when they name their least favorite episode of the show.
Like after the story centric one last episode, it was nice to get back to a Monster of the Week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like this episode. I think it's goofy in a fun way, in the way that I like. So
it's such a time capsule.
Yeah, it's 100% a time capsule. If you like what you heard here, you can listen to Michael and I on Capes and Junk, our comic books and superhero centric podcast that we release every other week. This podcast is not coming out. So you get something every week then, and you get to hear me and Michael every week if you want to. You should change your opinion. If you can listen to Vanessa and Jesse with Michael talking about Paper Mario on a recent game club. Next episode is going to be episode 9, The Puppet Show. I know Michael's excited about this one. it's exactly how it sounds. I'm not going to beat around the bush. This one is not some clever nod to something else.
Not Goosebumps.
And until next time, everyone, stay slaying.